Everlasting Father.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful Counselor,
Counselor,
Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yeah, everybody together, the Everlasting Father. 2, 3, 4. Okay. All right, forget it. Shabbat Shalom.
Brother Greg, we need your help worshiping this morning when we clap. Okay? Yes, sir.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to start here. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. Welcome to our Shabbat service. Here comes Billy with the water. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Right, everybody, let's worship the Lord today. Let's bring him an offering of sacrifice and praise into his name.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom, folks watching at home. We're glad you're with us today, live streaming. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Rebbetzin Don, and this is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, in Tennessee. We're actually in Virginia, but we're on the line of the Tennessee line. And we want to welcome you to be with us today. Ar Yehuda is our Hebrew name. You can find us on Facebook at Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation, or for Zion's Sake Ministries in Bristol, in Tennessee. And you can like us on Facebook. We'd appreciate that. And you can also go to our website, if you're watching us, you're already there. So we're going to have go to the Lord's table a little bit later. So you might want to prepare some juice and matzo or crackers and get ready to join us for that as the service progresses. And God bless you this morning.
Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua.
Amen. Amen.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
We'll do the Vishamru on page 45 in your purple siddur. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'v'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hi li olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat,
La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburitolam. Kisheshet yamim asa Adonai et hashemayim v'et haaretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat laso et ha-shabbat ledorotam berihit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash V'nafash, Shabbat V'nafash V'shamru V'nei Yisrael Et HaShabbat Lasod et HaShabbat Ledorotam Berit Olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen and amen. Somebody, Greg, could you call
Madonna?
Madonna, get the phone's right up here. It's probably Robert. How does he call?
Just here, I'll get it.
Call Robert, yeah.
But his phone may not be working, so you have to call Madonna.
Using Madonna's phone. Excuse us, folks. We've got somebody in the hospital, and we're getting a call related to that person. So forgive us.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them.
Praise the Lord. Wendell, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Father Yeshua, we just come before you this morning, Lord, from the synagogue here in Little Bristol, Lord, and we just ask that you hear our cry for the peace for Jerusalem, Lord. God, we pray, God, that you, Lord, would never remove your hand, Lord. God, that you would, Lord, put angels and camp them around about Israel and Jerusalem, Lord, that every enemy that might try to come in, Lord, let your word stand and be a standard that would drive off the enemy, Father. God, we pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, Lord. God, that you, the wisdom that this man has, Lord, that you would increase it and delete his nation, Lord. God, protect this man. Let your angels be have charge over him, Father. God, and we pray for all the rabbis, Lord. Lord, are seeking you, God. Put your hand of shield over them, Lord, a hand of protection upon them, O God. And we just pray for that peace to settle in Israel and Jerusalem, Lord. And we thank you for it in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah. And we just lift up Madonna to you today. And we just ask, Father, whatever's going on, that you take care of that situation, Father, in Yeshua's name. We thank you. Intervene right now, Father. Yeshua's name.
Just intervene. Have mercy on Madonna. Whatever's
protect her life right now, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. We just speak life. Just speak life, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anthony, and servant of the Lord.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive the prayers and offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always be acceptable to you. Uvechol meodecha, Bahayu hadivarim haele, Asher enochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, Vishinatam levanecha, Vidibarta bam, Vishivtecha bevetecha, Uvlechtecha vaderech,
uveshachbecha uvekumecha ukeshartam liot al yadecha vahayu totafot beinecha uchetavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. I'm going to ask Greg and William if they would carry the Torah, and Anthony, if you would handle the ark for us today. You would open the ark.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. There is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. in the stars above. Thank you, Lord.
Vayhi ben Soharom vayemer Moshe Kurna Adonai v'futzu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mikanecha ki mitzion teitze Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah Udavar Adonai Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a call from, I was in Boston several days ago, and I have a cousin who's, well, we all have a cousin who's not all there, right? So, it's true. And she's kind of an angry gal, and she lives in the same building my mother does, and she always accosts me when I come in, right, Don? When we see her, she kind of accosts me. And I won't go into why, but she's just kind of accosts me. So anyway, I got a call from Eddie Jacob Toller, and who is in Mountain Home, and just out of the blue I got a call, and he saved me from that accostment, and from being accosted. He saved me. I said, saying to my cousin, I'm talking to Jacob, I can't talk right now, give me a couple minutes. And she just went away. But Jacob told me I'm Elijah. So Shabbat Shalom.
Praise the Lord.
What's next,
Hallelujah.
Ms. Don? That's true. That's what he told me. And Jonathan Kahn is Enoch.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You have to pray about that. Now you need a get a confirmation. Don't just take that word as gospel that I'm Elijah and Jonathan Kahn is Enoch. Pray about it.
All right.
Pray about it. Test the spirits.
We'll pray, Rabbi.
Okay, but I want to thank Jacob for saving me from my cousin. You know, whoo, glory.
Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Ya'amod.
Ya'amod, Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai Hamavorah.
Baruch Adonai Hamroch Elam Vahed.
Baruch Adonai Hamroch Elam Vahed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamin V'natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So be nice to me.
Chariot. Y'all can have a seat.
I'm going to get my chariot.
Today's Torah portion is Lech Lecha, and it means to get yourself out. It has a deeper meaning because today it's the Torah portion is really about Avram, who later became Abraham. And, of course, he was the first patriarch. If you look at his name, Avram, Av means father. And, you know, with Abraham, I'm going to go ahead and say Abraham, you know, he had a different intellect, I think, than other people when he lived. In Ur of the Chaldees, because he was, I guess, somewhere around the age of 40, he started seeking that there was one true God, because that where he lived, his father was a part of the nobleman there with Nimrod and served under Nimrod. So he destroyed his father's idols, and Nimrod tried to burn him, and so he went through a lot of trials. But he knew that they were into idol worship, and everything that they saw, they felt was some type of a god. So they worshiped a lot of idols. But Abraham felt that many pagan gods could not have formed the earth and all the beauty that it has. So he sought the one and only God, and he sought the true creator. And you know, God changed his name simply by adding a Hebrew letter of hey. He put it next to the last word, and he became Avraham. And so God changed it. God called him to go to a place. And he's saying, he told him, he said, you've got to leave your father's house. You've got to leave your country. You've got to leave all of your neighbors, your relatives. And I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And that's what really Lech Lecha means. It means go to yourself. God is calling Abraham to himself, to another calling that God has for him. He was calling him to an ultimate purpose that he would enter into service to the Heavenly Father. And so they pack up, and he has Sarah, his wife. They're married. They have no children, as if you read the Torah portion, you know. And so they took one relative with them. God said, don't take anybody. So they took Lot, or Lotz, with them, who was Abraham's nephew. And so they go to the land of Israel, is where they actually went. And so when Abraham goes to the land of Israel, that actually started the contention of the land of Israel. Started when Abraham walked across the border into the land of Israel. Then we see the contention, the upheaval of the land, and the concern about the land of Israel. But when he got there, there was a famine in the land. And so Abraham had to take another journey. You know, sometimes when we encounter a delay or something in life, we think that, someone is trying to, Satan is trying to destroy us or attack us. But in this case here, not every time that's true. God intercedes in our lives, and he sends us sometimes, and we are delayed for a good reason. It's not because of our fate or something, or we're just a bad person, but God delays us. And we see when they get to the land of Israel, and God tells him, and they make the covenant and all that, there's a famine in the land. So he has to journey again. But the word said he went down to Egypt. It was a spiritual descent for Abraham. His life, he had to experience something further than just going to the land of Israel. So they go to the land of Egypt, which is sin in Hebrew. It means a place of sin. And there he tells the Pharaoh that Sarah is his sister, and Pharaoh wants to make her one of his wives. And so he tries to get her to be his wife, and they encounter a lot of difficulties because God was not going to permit that. So it's Pharaoh, and it's a picture of the Exodus that would happen centuries later, because Pharaoh sends Abraham and Sarah and Lot out, and he gives them great wealth to leave. And it's a shadow of the Exodus that would happen centuries later, where as the Israelites leave, the Egyptians give them great wealth as they leave the land. And so Egypt became a part of Abraham's journey to get there. And you know, when you look at Abraham, he's the spiritual father, because God chose Abraham because Abraham was seeking the true God. And he says, you know, and Abraham, I think, had a level of knowledge that exceeded the people at that particular time, because he was seeking God. They were seeking paganisms, but he was seeking the true God. He had that feeling that there's something else out there beyond the sunset or whatever. So he had a different knowledge. And Abraham, what did God tell Abraham? He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be and are a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Of course, that's Genesis 12:3. In you, Abraham, all the family of the earth will be blessed. And today, my microphone's playing haywire here. To your descendants, I will give you the land of Israel. So that's the promise. They received a biblical deed, if you want to say that, or they received a godly deed to the land of Israel, and it's still in effect today. It has not It has not passed. The Jewish people are continuing to move back to the land of Israel to fulfill that promise that one day they will totally encompass all the land of Israel. And it will be this biblical boundary that God established here in Genesis. It won't be the boundary that you see today. It will be the biblical boundary. So there will be a lot of movement and Israel will get better. You see, Abraham was justified by faith in the promise of God and not by the wonders or the works. You see, at the age of 99, he was circumcised. But the circumcision of the flesh, again, was a shadow of something that was yet to come. And that was the circumcision of the belief in Yeshua. When you accept Yeshua, God, you have to, the old part of you has to be cut away. So this circumcision of the flesh, I think, is a shadow of the spiritual circumcision that would come later at the death and resurrection of Yeshua. Because I think when you say the death, you have to include the resurrection, because that was the victory over the death, was his resurrection from the grave. And see, all the people are blessed by Abraham. He's the spiritual tree, if you want to say that this morning. Abraham is the father of Jewish people. Through Abraham came the promised seed of the Messiah, the Messianic Yeshua Savior, in the world that was to come, the Messianic reign. Abraham had great faith. He left everything behind. His family was his father was in great position in Ur. He was a nobleman with Nimrod, and he stepped out in faith and he took hold of God's promises. That's what we have to do today. We have to step out in faith and take hold of the promises of God. I think that's one thing, just to close, when we get to heaven, we're going to see, we're going to be saddened just for a nanosecond when we realize all of the things that God had for us here that we never took part of. We didn't accept it, because just like Abraham, we have to use Abraham as an example, and we have to today step out in faith and take hold of the things of God. Shabbat Shalom.
Moshe, leaf nay b'nei Yisrael, Adonai, b'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I just want to welcome everyone from online. I think everybody here in the house is family, so it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We just have a few announcements coming up next weekend. Deborah Klein Iantorno is going to be here. She'll be here for the Shabbat service, and so it's going to be a wonderful Shabbat service. I hope that you'll show up, come, support, and
and see this wonderful lady. She's just an awesome worship leader, messianic worship leader. How many of you enjoyed McKedem that came a week and a half ago? Amen. It was awesome, wasn't it? All right. Well, Deborah Klein's going to be great, and you want to bring your friends, bring your friends, and bring your family, and bring yourself, okay, to hear this. And then also, Paul Wilbur, please put on your schedule there, December 2nd. It'll be an evening concert, and we have yet to schedule the venue, so just keep those things in mind. And then also, that's the only thing that's coming up. We'll be scheduling a Hanukkah service, so we'll let you know when all of that is. But the Southeast Conference is also coming up. We've got some flyers in the back, and if anyone's interested in attending the Southeast, which is down in Orlando, registration is open for that. And the travel down there is pretty easy if you take Allegiant, or if somebody wants to carpool together down to Orlando. So I think I've got some flyers downstairs. We'll start promoting that. But pray about going to the Southeast Conference, which is also in December coming up. All right. Just remember, we've got lunch afterwards ready for everyone. Just we'll have some fellowship following the service. And I'll turn it back over to Rabbi.
I'm going to call a work day for not this Wednesday, but the next.
Okay.
I'm going to be caught up on my work, and the Lord gave me a really good worker so I could be freer. And I need all you men that can, if you would come help, we're going to take this sidewalk up out here and start getting it ready to put back new, because it really needs it. It's kind of dangerous and trippy. It can trip you. So if all you men wants to help, and if anybody's watching, Wednesday, 2 weeks, Wednesday, if you're watching, you want to come be a blessing, have fun with us, we're going to work and fix this problem out here. Thank you.
Amen.
Now we got to stick to it, so I'm held accountable to God for saying it. So I got to be here. So I need your help, please.
All right. So we'll remind everybody, but 2 weeks from Wednesday, or 1 week, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. All right.
Test.
Okay.
All right. If anybody on watching wants to come and help Wendell, what you're gonna tear up the sidewalk out there and
get it ready to put
concrete and put a bathroom in and a shower out by the fellowship hall. It's with a heavy heart that I have to share this with you. A few days ago, I got a call that Madonna had gone into the hospital, and they thought she had had a heart attack, and she went into the hospital, but what they found is that she hadn't had a heart attack, but she was very close. She doesn't drink enough, so didn't drink nearly enough. She was very, very dehydrated. She was bleeding internally, and she had anemia. She was anemic, and she was losing blood, and she had very low blood pressure. And they put her in a room overnight. She hadn't seen a cardiologist, and during the night she had a heart attack. And they put her in ICU, and I went to see her the next day, and I held her hand and talked to her. She had oxygen, and she was alert. She was tired and weak, but she was alert. We talked. And the doctor, I was listening in through the curtain. The doctor was in with her and her son, and they were talking about her kidneys and that the possibility of dialysis, and that her kidneys weren't functioning properly. And I heard Madonna say at the time she didn't want to take dialysis. And anyhow, I prayed with her, and then I left. I talked to her son, Rusty. and that was the day before yesterday. We just got a call from Robert, her husband, and her kidneys are shutting down, and she doesn't want dialysis, and that's the only thing that'll save her. So Madonna Short has been with us since we founded this. She was one of the first people to found this congregation. She was one of the original 15 people that started this congregation, and she's precious to all of us. I know everybody loves her dearly. She's ready to go, she says, according to Robert. She'd rather go be with the Lord than go through dialysis, and her body's not strong enough there's also the question of whether her body's strong enough to withstand dialysis with her heart condition. So be in prayer, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this news. It grieves my heart as well. So
can she receive visitors? I wonder. So
go and visit. I think not to have a lot of people, but I would scatter it. I'd go throughout the day, maybe go later. You know, I think I'm gonna probably go right after service. And then, you know, like wait an hour. If we want, we can just kind of like make times. We can, somebody set a time chart, and we can figure out when people would want to go. But I think if you want to see her, this would be a good, you know.
Would someone please tell Marilyn what's going on?
Yeah, would someone please explain to Marilyn what's going on privately? So what we'll do is we'll have a time sheet. If somebody would make a time sheet. Will somebody do that? Can I get a hand up? Somebody would make a timesheet. Anybody? Greg, you'll make a timesheet? Okay. If you'd work on that now, just times throughout the day, and then when people might want to go and pay their respects and show her your love. And she's at ICU at Wellmont Bristol. Okay, so let's move on. The Lord goes on, and we continue with the service. Yes, Charlie. She's in ICU 8. No, just two visitors at a time. Two visitors at a time. That's all. So. You can go into the ICU. I'd rather not discuss this right now. Let's just sign the sheet, and I'll discuss it with everybody afterward about when how we're going to get the logistics of it. But trust me, I got to visit her, and I didn't have a special sign. I wasn't wearing my super cape or my bat cape. I didn't drive my Batmobile or my Captain America shield. I just went in. You know, trust me on this. I'll get you in there. Just wait. Let's get through the service, and we'll deal with it. Okay. All right. And we'll pray. We'll pray for Madonna. This is why it's important to come to prayer. You know, when I'm gonna say this. I'll say it a million times. But I put out. Not only did I tell people about Madonna on our prayer chain, I invited people to come to prayer Wednesday night. And I get it, honey. You couldn't get a ride. I get it. If you have a car and you can drive, and you know somebody that you love has had a heart attack, that is a good night to be at prayer. Okay. If you have a car and you have a ride, and you can get there, and you know somebody you love's had a heart attack, and they're in the hospital fighting for their life. You know, come to prayer. You know, I don't know what else to say. I really don't know what else to say. I love y'all, and I'm not people. There's people not even here that I'm talking to. You know, when I say come to prayer, I'm not saying it for fun. I'm not saying it's not a game.
When I tell people, when the rabbi says come to prayer, y'all ought to make an effort to come. We're getting some kind of wind. I don't know either.
Still there.
All right, so I don't know what it is. We'll live with it. Anyway, I love you all dearly. I love everybody, and I'd be in the hospital visiting you and praying for you. But only two, besides me and Don, only two people showed up, and Aja by phone, and William came in for a little bit. We all should have been here praying for Madonna. And people need to listen. When the man of God speaks, and some of you may not have got the message, I understand. I'm not judging. Don't take it as condemnation. Just take it as hear the word of the Lord. I'm not going to tell you on the prayer line to come to prayer. I don't say it every week, do I? Y'all get, how many people get messages from me on the prayer line, on the telephone? Okay, you get messages, a bunch of you. Okay, so do I say come to prayer every week?
No.
Raise your hand. I don't do it. But I did this week, and I had a special reason for it, and it was Madonna's heart attack. Amen? Mm-hmm. So drop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Drop it. Get in your car. Get a friend. Call a buddy. Come to prayer. It's important. It's important. I know I'm preaching, but I love you. I love you. But, I don't say these things. Take what I say seriously. I told you 9 months before Donald Trump was elected, he was going to be president. I told you he was going to destroy ISIS. He's destroyed he's kicking the butt of ISIS. He's destroying radical Islam. He's doing everything that I said he was going to do. You won't call me on anything that I've said. I don't think you can think a single thing that I've said from this pulpit that either hasn't come true. Nobody can say that I've told a lie. You can't say it because there hasn't been one thing that I've said that hasn't come to pass or won't come to pass. But yet still people don't listen. I don't know. I just, I shake my head. And I love, it's not you, it's everybody. It's everybody, it's the whole congregation. Praise the Lord. That's the struggle. That's one of the challenges of being a shepherd. That's one of the challenges. But anyway, not that that would have changed anything. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But we love Madonna. We all love Madonna. Amen.
Love you, Madonna.
Amen. Okay. All right, so we're gonna continue the service, and we're gonna take up our tithes and offerings, and next week Deborah Klein, like I said, whatever happens with Madonna, next week Deborah Klein, Ian Torno is gonna come. She is an incredible. If you enjoyed Corey Bell, you're gonna love Deborah Klein. She's an amazing worship leader. It's going to be a great service, One thing I just want to say is whatever happens with Madonna, she knows what she's doing, and she knows where she's going. And she's looking to her Savior. She's looking up, and she's saying, I've had enough of this. I'm ready to go be with you. And that's what she's basically saying. That was the message today. She's ready to go home. So that's really, if she does, we'll miss her. We'll miss her presence.
we'll miss seeing her, but she won't be missing us. As Glenn Campbell sang in his last song, I won't miss you. I'm not going to miss you. She won't be worrying about us. She'll have a glorified body. She'll be in the presence of the Lord. She'll be with the saints. She'll be rejoicing at the throne. It's a cause for celebration, really, is what it is. She's lived 80 years. She's had 80 good years, healthy years. And if she goes, then, you know, she's had a good life. She's been healthy and right up to the end. And we should all have a healthy life and live 80 years. Who wouldn't want that, right? 80 good years. And so, you know, I don't think she'd want us to be grieving, but I understand, you know, this is a shock to some of you, so I get it. It was a shock to me. The whole thing was a shock, you know. All right, Wendell, would you pray for our tithes and our offerings? And we'll continue the service. And in this, I want to exhort you, rejoice. Rejoice. The only way you're going to get through this is to rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to worship. We're going to pray for Madonna. We're going to worship. We're going to rejoice because we're worshiping our Lord, our King. Amen? So we're going to continue on. And we're going to worship, and we're going to rejoice, and we're just going to celebrate. We're going to praise God, because that's what it's all about. Amen.
Father, we thank you today, Lord, for being able to give back to you, Lord. If you have blessed us with abundance, God. God, we just ask that you bless this tithe this morning, God. Let us give our 10%, God, that we owe you, Lord, that it would rebuke the devourer, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the offering, Lord. We pray for the building fund, God. Increase it so we can get things done for you, Father. And bless those that don't have, God, that they would be able also to give to you, Lord. And be able to contain blessings, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
To bend.
vision of two cities, a vision of the Lord, a vision of His glory forever.
Counselor, the everlasting Father.
is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will.
Soul. Hallelujah. To a wedding last week. My niece, all the promise, the hope of a bright future, young couple gets married, and you don't know what's in store. Just don't know. Even at age 30, they just don't know what's in store. 5 years, 3 years, 6 years, 20 years, you just don't know. You know, there's no promises. I have a wedding to do tomorrow. I'm doing a wedding for. I was asked 3 weeks ago to do a wedding. I'm doing a wedding tomorrow. You know, and now in the middle of it is this. And we just don't know. You know, we don't know. All we can do is thank God, and I thank God. I wrote something this week thanking the Lord for giving me the chance last week to go see my mom, to see my family, to see my niece get married, to see my cousins, to go out to dinner with some cousins and family, and just had a really wonderful time with my family. And it may be the last time. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know. We're not promised tomorrow, you know. We're not promised tomorrow. But we do have a living hope. And that's why we come to this table. We have a living hope. We have a Savior. And the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. And that grace and truth came through Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. And that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him will not perish. And that goes along with Psalm 2, which says, do homage to the Son. You know, most Jewish people don't know, and some Jewish people may be watching. Psalm 2 says, do homage to the Son, or kiss the Son. You can look this up in your Bibles, in your Jewish Bibles, your older ones. They change it in the newer ones. They change it to make it so they take the word Son out, but it's in there. Look at the Hebrew. It says, do homage to the Son, or kiss the Son, or worship the Son, S-O-N, not S-U-N, that you will not perish, that He may not become angry, and you perish in the way. And when Yeshua said in John 3:16, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He was talking about Psalm 2, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have a living hope. We have every day is gravy. Every day that we're here is gravy in the Lord. You're so blessed. Every one of you who knows the Lord is so blessed to know the Lord. And we should give thanks, because I've just come from Boston, where so many people have millions of dollars. I saw one street corner, three Mercedes SUVs parked within 50 feet of each other. It's just, you know, the opulence in the city is so the extravagance, the cost of everything. It's so different from here. But they don't have the Lord. Most of them don't have the Lord. They're lost. Most of the people in the cities. There are many people saved. I'm not saying all are not saved, but they don't know Yeshua. They don't know the Messiah. They think that with their heads, with reason, that they can figure it out. They can work it out with their own mind, their own humanity. They can save themselves. They save the world. You know, we're going to save the world, and then we're going to save it again because it's going to fall. They don't realize we live in a fallen world that can't be saved by us. Right? We live in a fallen world that's been fallen since Adam and Eve, and it ain't getting better. It's going to be replaced by a new world, a new earth, and we're going to be given new bodies because we live in fallen bodies, and we have a living hope of a resurrection.
Yes, amen.
A resurrection. Every one of us in this room who knows Yeshua, that the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, for the living shall not precede the dead in the order of resurrection, but the dead will rise, and then those who remain will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. We caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be together with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the last shofar, the great shofar, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be caught up together. At the sound of the last trump. Hallelujah. So we're the only people. All other religions have no hope.
Buddha's still dead. Krishna's still dead. They're still in their tombs wherever they are. You know, Ahasuerus, I don't know whatever if he was a believer or not. I saw a picture of his tomb. He's still dead. You know, kings of Persia, the king of Babylon, Nimrod is still dead. Okay? We never stop living. We never stop living. Amen. We keep going. We lose these tents, these tabernacles. But our spirit lives on. Amen. And our life, we just go on. We leave behind. We go on. We live. We choose life. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where is your sting? Death has lost its victory. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was Passover night when Yeshua took the afikomen. He took the middle layer at that Passover nearly 2,000 years ago. And he took that afikomen and he broke it, just like every leader of a Passover Seder, every father, every priest at a Passover Seder does. He breaks that afikomen and gives it out to each person at the table. And he said, but he said something different. He didn't say, this is dessert. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then Yeshua took the third cup at the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he took that cup and he said, this cup is the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Paul told us that we're not supposed to come to this table unless we know Yeshua, that this table is a table of grace to those who know him. But he says, if it's a table, if you don't know Yeshua, it's a table of condemnation, of judgment, because you're pretending to receive his grace when you really don't have it, mm-hmm. And you're under condemnation, and if you know Yeshua, come to the table. You don't have to be a member of this congregation. You don't have to be Jewish, you just have to be a believer and you can come. But come receive his grace. This is the hope of your resurrection, that you can come to this table, that you've been baptized, that you've been immersed. And this is the hope that we have. Amen. Amen. It's the reminder. It's a reminder of the hope that we have. So Deborah, would you come and serve today? Okay. And Patricia, would you like to come and serve? Thank you. Come as you're ready, folks.
I am eternally grateful to Jesus for all he has done. Given me life and salvation, given me liberty. All
Praise the Lord. Take the glue. Do we have the glutey? It's okay. Thank you. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Make the most of every day. Amen. We're not going to have children's class today, but you want to bless the children? Okay. I'll just like to call the children up and we'll bless them. We'll pray for Joshua. He's in his championship football game today. He's in the middle of his seventh championship football game. Amazing. So we couldn't be with him this morning. I won't say where he is on TV, but he's a little far away. And I was like, you can come gather around. Billy Xavier, come on up. And we couldn't be with him. So Isaac went to be with his brother. I'll tell you, Isaac was promoted to the varsity. He's a freshman in Tennessee High. He was promoted to the varsity on Monday. So we want to congratulate Isaac. He was highly honored to be promoted to the varsity as a freshman. So he's very happy. It was really a God moment, because it's one of those times when everything just comes together. And they saw him play. The head coach saw Isaac play. He was impressed. Isaac made four tackles and several other plays, and the coach said, move that guy up. So I know that may not mean a lot to some of the mamas around here playing football, but it means a lot to Isaac, who's been busting his chops trying to, get there. David knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, Father, we just bless our kids, those who are with us and those who are not. We bless Xavier and Billy, and Lord, we thank you for them, and we pray for all our children, Lord. We pray for Crystal Lynn, and we pray for Mark, and we pray for Riley and
Dante.
Who?
Dante.
And we pray for Joey and Danny and Brooke. And we lift up Josh, Lord. We pray you protect him, give your angels charge over him, and Lord, and just keep him safe out there on the wet field. It's slippery. Keep him safe. Keep him healthy. Watch over his teammates. Give him the victory today, Lord. Give his team the victory. And I pray, Lord. And it's what? We're winning 2-6. Praise the Lord. Lord, give us the victory. And bless Isaac out there, and bless Chan. And just protect Josh. Keep him safe today. Lord, watch over him. Let all the kids be safe. Let nobody be hurt, or no broken bones, no concussions. I pray in the name of Yeshua. And bless these kids, Lord. Bless Xavier and Billy and all our kids, Lord. Lead them in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Help them to hear your voice, Lord, like Samuel the prophet. Teach them to hear your voice and listen to you. Hear when you say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Speak to our children, Lord. Let them audibly hear you call them like Samuel did, and that they might hear and obey and follow you, Lord, because your way is the right way. And we ask in Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's not an easy job being a rabbi or a pastor. It's a lot of stuff. Got to go through a lot of stuff with people and families. I remember praying for Madonna's son, who was going through OxyContin addiction, one of the sons, 18 years ago, 17 years ago, and his wife at the time. They were addicted to OxyContin, and God delivered them, and they both got delivered. I remember that being in Madonna's house. It was a different house back then. She was married. Her husband Russell, she was married to Russell at that time. Russell passed away, and then she married Robert. We used to go over and visit the Shorts, and Madonna was much younger. It was 18 years ago. She was 62. And, you know, she was just a kid. And she was vibrant, full of life. Really, she's always zealous. Oh, she loves Sukkot. She just loves Sukkot. She used to come in, if nobody else would have a tent, she'd be out in the yard with a tent, sleeping out all week long, showering and eating at our house. People used to come. We used to do it. We used to live across from Don's parents, and they have a big 3-acre yard with a creek. And so we used to do Sukkot in their yard. We had a big campfire, and Don's dad would collect brush, and we'd have a campfire. I'm telling you, this thing would shoot up 18, 20 feet high. Remember that, Diane? And one time the fire department came and told us we had to have a permit. It was such a big fire. And somebody called the fire department. But Madonna would sleep out in a tent night after night. She had no husband during those times. Or even if she did, with Russell, she'd leave him home. Her husband was sick, and she would just leave him home. He took care of himself. And she would come and spend the week. And then I guess she'd go home during the day and come back. But she loved Sukkot, and she loved Passover. And she loved the children. Madonna loves she loves the children. She's still with us. She loves the children. And she adores them. And so we're actually going to have to, unless somebody steps up, I don't know where the Matthews are today, but unless somebody steps up, we're going to have to. I was talking with Amber one day, and she said that she didn't mind if her kids stayed in the service. But unless somebody steps up to teach, we won't be able to continue the children's program. We only have two teachers. So somebody needs to step up to, if we want to teach the little ones, we need somebody to step up to be a teacher and learn. There's only, I think, Patricia and Miss Dawn right now. So we need, otherwise we're just going to, kids are just going to have to stay in the service. And it's no, you know, that's just what it is. And they'll hear the word of the Lord. So, would somebody look up that verse that one will scatter a thousand? Would somebody, yeah, just look up that verse. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Deuteronomy 32:30. Okay. Thank you, Diane. Okay. Deuteronomy 32:30. How could one chase a thousand and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? And God says in His Word that when we follow Him, one will chase a thousand and two will put 10,000 to flight. And if we follow Him, one will chase a thousand and two will put 10,000 to flight. And praise the Lord. So today's message is called God plus one equals an army. It's based on Genesis 14. And Carol, if you'd look up a map of Mesopotamia in the time of Abraham, ancient Mesopotamia. I appreciate that. So let's pray for the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. And thank you for your message. I pray it's encouraging and uplifting to us. Pray that you would give me a spirit of love and just empty me of Joe and forgive me for my failures and my transgressions, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bind the strong man. And, Lord, direct our steps today. Direct our paths in the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Center it. And hallelujah. So today's message is God plus one equals an army. And let's begin in Genesis 14. Genesis 14. I love this story. How many of you know that Abraham, it's debatable whether Abraham or Gideon was the greatest general in history. It's debatable whether Abraham or Gideon were the greatest generals, the greatest military commanders in history. They accomplished more with fewer men than anybody in history ever did, both Gideon and Abraham. And I love this chapter 14. Let's read in Genesis 14, and it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Cheder Laomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these came as allies to the valley of Sidim, that is the Salt Sea, that's the Dead Sea. 12 years they had served Cheder Laomer, But the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Cheder Laomer and the kings that were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, and the Zuzim in Ham, and Emim in Shava Kiriathim, and the Horites at Mount Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites and the Amorites who lived in Hazazon Tamar, and the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah. So what was going on here was all the kings of the Canaanites, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, the kings around Sodom and Gomorrah, all the kings in the land of Canaan, the Amalekites, the descendants of the Philistines, and all of these peoples were paying tribute. Everybody say tribute. We're paying tribute to the kings of the east, to the kings of Persia, the king of Elam, to Amraphel, the king of Shinar, which is in southern Mesopotamia, later known as Babylonia or Chaldea. Secular history calls it Samaria. Nimrod lived there. Shinar with the cities of Babel, Erech, Akkad, the Akkadians of history. If you've ever studied about the Akkadians, they lived there. Kalna, the Tower of Babel, was there in Shinar, in that area. Genesis 11:2. Later, Nebuchadnezzar took the temple vessels from the temple of Jerusalem. Daniel 1 verse 2 tells us he took them to Shinar, to Shinar. And so Amraphel was the king of Shinar, which is like the king of southern Babylonia. Arioch was the king of Elasar. Elasar was a city located in southern Babylonia. And Cheder Laomer, he was the king of Elam, which is basically Persia today. Elam is another name for Persia or Iran. And so as you can see, I don't have my pointer here, but so here's where Amraphel and Arioch were kings down in this area in southern Babylonia, you know, where the Tigris and Euphrates meet, and this down around here where the Tower of Babel was, Susa, this is Persia, this is Elam, is around here. So Cheder Laomer, I lost it. Anyway, Persia, which is over here, Cheder Laomer was the king of Persia. Then there was another guy named Tidal, and he was the king of the Goyim. Goyim means the nations. He was the king of the nations. We don't know what nations or how many, but he must have been a pretty powerful guy. So historically, those kings were the most powerful kings in the world. Okay? They had kings all the way from Babylon to Israel, up to Syria, all the way down through Israel and Jordan, and all through that whole, and the Arabia, Saudi Arabia. They had them all paying tribute, paying them money. Herod paid tribute to Caesar. Okay? Caesar put Herod in power, and Herod had to pay tribute to Caesar. That's how he stayed in power. Okay? So it's called a payoff. It's called a bribe or extortion. Okay? These more powerful kings, it was reported in the news, or the person running against Mayor de Blasio of New York, there's a Republican lady that she's running against Mayor de Blasio. She said on the news the other day, that you can buy Mayor de Blasio. She claimed somebody bought Mayor de Blasio for $189,000 and has access to Mayor de Blasio and can get whatever they want done. That you can, if you have enough money, you can pay tribute to Mayor de Blasio and get whatever you want. This is as old as the oldest profession. Okay? Paying off rulers, paying off kings, is as old as the oldest profession on earth, which most of you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Although I would think food came first, but anyway, I'm not sure. I wasn't there then. But let's go on. So they came, and let's read. These kings came. Now, why did they come? They came from the east. They came, having trouble with that map, huh? They came from the east all the way to Israel, from Persia and Babylonia. They came to Israel, to Sodom and Gomorrah, to fight, to do battle with the kings. And what they did is they fought the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the kings around there. And Abraham's nephew Lot, was living in Sodom, and he was captured. So let's see where that is. So let's read in verse 8. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboim and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, came out, and they are arrayed in battle against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedor Laomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elisar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, but they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of Sodom, the people from the east, the kings of the east, and their armies, took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and their food supply and departed. They also took Lot, everybody say Lot. They took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Avram that the Hebrew, that he was now he was living in the oak by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner, and these were allies with Avram. When Avram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men born in his house, 318 men, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Okay, so where is Dan? Dan is in the very far north. On the when Yeshua is talking about being, he's in Caesarea Philippi, and Peter says, "Who do you say?" He says to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." That's where Dan is. That is up in the north, very northern Syrian border of Israel, probably 200 miles. 175 miles, maybe 200 miles from where Abraham was, down in the southern, below the Dead Sea. You're talking about going from below the Dead Sea. Here's I'm not really see the Dead Sea, but here's where the Dead Sea would be. Here's the Dead Sea right here. Talking below here, coming up all the way to here. Okay, above the Sea of Galilee, up right up to the border of Syria. That's where Abraham traveled to rescue Lot. They had the kings of the east had absconded up towards Syria, and Abraham went up there. So let's read, and so a fugitive came and told Avram that they had taken Lot. So verse 14, Avram got 318 of his trained men. He divided his forces against them, verse 15, by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. See, I said right up there in the Damascus, right up on the border, north of Damascus. So he went over 200 miles. He brought back all the goods and brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and all the women and the people. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedor Laomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the Valley of Shavah. So how awesome is this? Abram, defeated the greatest empires and their armies. I'm a little loud. He defeated the greatest armies, the greatest empires on the planet with 318 men. Are you getting that? The greatest armies, all the kings here, from here and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Damascus and up here, all the kings, were paying these guys tribute. They were all paying these guys in the east who were more powerful, they were paying them tribute so they could have peace, so they could rule their kingdoms. They were sending money, they were sending goods, produce, supplies, whatever it was they had, they were sending it. All the people that lived here, all the way up through here, were sending money to them because they were stronger. But Abraham, one man, everybody say one man, took 318 of his trained men. What were they trained to do? They were shepherds. They were shepherds. Abraham wasn't a soldier. He was a man of God. Now, I'm sure his men knew how to fight. I'm sure they had to fight off bands of raiders and all, so forth. But they weren't really soldiers. They were Abraham's servants. He took 318 of his strongest, toughest guys, maybe some tough gals, I don't know. And he went and he defeated the greatest armies on the earth. You just don't hear about it. I mean, it should be taught at West Point, It really should. Okay? With 318 men, not only did he defeat them, he took everything back. This is a miracle. And then let's read on, verse 17. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedor Laomer, the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, or Melchizedek as they say in these parts, Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, king of Salem, king of peace. I wonder who Melchizedek is. He's the king of peace. We know who the prince of peace is. Who's the prince of peace? Yeshua. Jesus is the prince of peace. In the Jewish Bible, in Isaiah 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom." A son with the name. Jewish people need to know this, that in Isaiah chapter 9, the Jewish prophet Isaiah, in your Jewish Bibles, if you're watching, it says in Isaiah 9 that we'll be given a son, an S-O-N, not an S-U-N, we'll be given a son, a baby, and this son, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Abiyar, Sar Shalom, El Gibor, Eternal. I can't remember all the Hebrew off the top of my head, but essentially, if you read it, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, El Gibor, that means the big guy. El Gibor is one of the names for the God of Israel, for the Tetragrammaton. It's one of the names for the unspeakable, the unspoken name, the Yud Heh Vav Heh, the God of Israel, the one we call Hashem. Is El Gibor is one of his names, El Elyon, El Shaddai. So who is this son? And it also says Eternal Father. He'll be the Eternal Father. And so here we see Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, king of Shalom, king of peace. So if Yeshua, the son, is the prince of peace, then Melchizedek must be the father, the king of peace, right? Does that make sense? If the Prince of Peace is the Son of God, and his father is the king, your hair should be going up on the back of your neck right now. And Melchizedek, the king of peace, brought out bread and wine, just as we took. And now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Avram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So who won the battle? God Most High. Abraham had 318 men, but it says, "Blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." God was with Avram.
He didn't do it himself. He gave him, and it says Avram gave him a tenth of all. He gave to God, he gave to the King of Peace, a tenth of all. Just like Jacob said to God, if you bless me, later on in around Deuteronomy, around Genesis 27 through 32 somewhere, he says, if you bless me, I will give you a tenth of all. And Jacob gave God a condition. He put a condition on his tithe. If you bless me, I'll give you a tenth. So I want to just drop for a minute here and talk about tithing for a second. This predates, a lot of people question whether tithing is biblical, but this predates the law. This predates the Torah, the giving of the Torah. And then we see again in Hebrews chapter, in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, talks about the tithe. So the tithe predates the Torah, but it also postdates it. You know, it postdates, it's in the New Covenant. So we believe in tithing, and I think God gives us the reason we tithe is what we give to God. God is giving us, he's telling us to give 10%. That's a baseline. 10% is a baseline of what we should give. He's giving us, he's requiring 10%. Tithe is your rent. Consider it your rent to God, okay? And it goes, the tithe, God says, bring the whole tithe into my house, he says. Into my house. What is God's house? What? The temple. Right. But in this age, the temple isn't there. So where the house of the Lord is, wherever house you're in, wherever church or synagogue that God has you in, that's where to bring your tithe. That's where I've always brought my tithe, to the house of God that God had placed me in. Amen. He says, that there may be food in my house, or bread in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me in this, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain, Malachi 3:8, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. I will rebuke the devourer. I just, want to say that when I started tithing on my business years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, God tripled my business when I had a restaurant. When I started tithing on the proceeds of the restaurant, of my business, on the gross sales, some of you are in business, and some people in the congregation, some people watching are in business. I wasn't tithing on the gross sales of my business. I was waiting till I paid the electric bill. I was waiting till I paid the salaries and the taxes and the food costs. And I was waiting till I paid for... And then if I had two nickels left over at the end of the month, I gave it to God. I heard a message on tithing, and God rebuked me and told me that I owed him several years of tithes for the restaurant, which... And by the way, Leviticus 27:30 tells us that if you use God's tithe for something, like you want to go to Disneyland, he says, go ahead. If you want to use God's tithe to do something else, you want to you want to go to a Titans game, you want to go to a Celtics game, you want to go to you want to buy a diamond ring or something, go ahead, use your tithe and do it. Buy a refrigerator. It just says you owe God 20% interest, okay? If you do, you owe him 20% interest, one-fifth, okay? That's what it says in Leviticus 27:30. So I realized that I wasn't tithing on my business for several years correctly, and it says tithe on the increase. The increase is anything that comes through the door and goes through the register. It doesn't say I get to pick what the increase is. Whatever comes in the door and goes through the register, that's the increase. Before the taxes, give him the first, God says. Before the taxes, before the salary, before the light bill, before the food cost, before the garbage collector bill, before the utility bills, the electric bills, the gas bills, give God his 10%. And so you know, I started doing it. The first check I would write on Monday morning, and within a year or two, God had tripled my business. Tripled it from $120,000 a year to between $360,000 and $400,000. So if you own a business, I encourage everybody to tithe personally on your income. But if you own a business, you should be tithing. If you own a business, you should be tithing on your business, and if you want it to grow. I believe in it. If you own a business, you should be tithing on it if you want it to grow. And that's my brief aside on tithing. Okay, so let's go back to Abram here. So God was pleased with Abram. Now I want to move on from this chapter here, and I want to talk about, let's go to Judges chapter 6. We'll talk about Gideon. God plus one equals an army. Remember what it said there as we go to Judges 6. It says, "Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." God will deliver your enemies. Everybody say that. God will deliver my enemies into my hand as long as I'm obedient to God. As long as I'm obedient to God. Amen. God will deliver your enemies into your hand if you're obedient, if we're obedient to God. Amen. Okay, so let's look at Gideon here. So Gideon in Judges 6:5, we see the call of Gideon. Let's read verse 6:1 there. "Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east to go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So they were destroying all the food, all the sustenance of the Israelites, and they came as numerous as locusts. They outnumbered the children of Israel by hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And they would come into their land, and they destroyed their food." And it says that, so Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. "Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians, from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Gideon said, "Who, me? You talking to me?" Everybody say, "Who, me?" "Then Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" You're talking about a people that outnumbered Israel, just like Abram had 318 men. He was probably dealing with armies in the tens or maybe hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And with 318 men, he defeated them. And Gideon, so Gideon, God sent him and said, you go do it. Go do it. You go deliver them.
He said to him, "Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." You see, one man with God is an army. One man with God is an army. And it's not about numbers. With God, it isn't about numbers. Every preacher I've ever met wants to see his congregation, his church, his synagogue full. Every preacher, even the ones with 550, they want 1,000. Everybody wants 1,000 people, 500 people, whatever. And you know, my prayer is just that God will send more mentors, more teachers, more worshipers, more. If we're going to minister to the lost, we need people who can minister to the lost. We don't need, if we don't have enough people to minister to the sick and the poor and the needy, how we can't bring in more sick, poor, and needy. Amen? So we need more people, strong men of God, women of God, couples, singles, intercessors, worshipers, people with helps, people with gifts of giving, people who meet all the needs, even doctors, medical gifts, dental gifts, people who can do all sorts of things, you know, people with technology skills, people with media skills, people with printing and publishing skills, and people with pottery skills, people with all kinds of skills, and people with art skills and creativity who can design banners and flags, and all these things are the things we need. But I never ask God for 1,000 people. I never ask God for 500 people. In fact, I never put a number on how many people. Maybe I should, but I don't. Because it's not about numbers. In fact, the gate is wide that leads to damnation, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few are they who find it. The gate is wide that leads to damnation, and the multitudes will go that way, will go the way thereof. But narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and there are few who will find that way. Few. Don't follow the multitudes. So many people follow the multitudes. So many people go look for the mega church or the mega whatever, you know, they want to be or where the world is, what the world's doing. The world's going to hell. The world is going to hell fast. The world has no clue what's going on in the spirit world. And let me tell you something. The unseen world is far greater than the seen world. The unseen world is full of spirits, good spirits and not so good spirits, angels, demons, and things going on that have been going on since the foundation of the world and before. Remember, Satan was the worship leader in heaven, and he fell and brought other angels with him to earth. This is the unseen world. Powers and principalities of darkness that you can't see. But remember, in Daniel, Michael, the archangel, was kept 3 weeks from coming to Daniel because he was fighting the prince of Persia. 3 weeks he was delayed getting to Daniel because he's fighting in the spirit world, the unseen world. He's fighting the prince of Persia. There's more going on around you here in this room that you can't see than you can. And one time, Elisha the prophet, his servant, questioned whether God was with him. And Elisha had God called on God to open his eyes to see. And the chariots, the armies of God, and the chariots of God that were surrounding them, just to show, you know, his servant that God was with them. One man plus God is an army. One man plus God. In the case of Deborah, one woman plus God. Amen? Never give up.
Never quit. Never look around you and say, we're too few. Let's read Gideon. Let's read a little bit about it. Judges 6:5. We said that they are multitudes. And Judges 7. Gideon started out with thousands of men. Thousands and thousands. But in Judges 7, it says, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. Now, wait a second. How many people was Gideon facing? Well, let's look and see that. Verse 12. We'll go to verse 12 for a second. It says, now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. How numerous were the Midianites and the Amalekites that were fighting the Israelites? They were so numerous as locusts. Have you ever seen locusts? There's millions of them. And it says their camels were so numerous they were without number. They were as the sand of the seashore. Now, let's go back to chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now, therefore, come proclaim in the hearing of people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. That's nothing compared to all the Midianites and Amalekites. Amen? Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, or in Hebrew, Gidon, say Gidon. Gidon. Gidon with it. Then the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands, so let all the people go, each man to his home. So the 300 men took provisions and their trumpets, their shofars in their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you're afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant. If you've ever seen our commercial for the Manabagel Company, can you pull that up, the Manabagel? And we'll show the commercial, the Gideon commercial. So it says in verse 12, that would be on YouTube, Manabagel. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley, as I said, as numerous as locusts, and camels too numerous to count. Verse 13, when Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell, and it turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. His friend answered, these are two Midianite soldiers, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. It came about when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation that he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put shofars and empty pitchers into the hands of all the men with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when I and all who are with you blow the shofar, then you also blow the shofars all around the camp and say for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the shofars and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the shofars and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of soldiers ran, crying out as they fled, leaving their belongings, leaving their weapons, running away. Praise the Lord. You got the video up there? You want to show it? Let's turn the lights off on that side. Is that the video? Okay. Press play. No, that's not the right one. Yeah. It's the one with the two soldiers. Okay. So, well, while Carol's doing that, let's turn the lights back on for a sec. Praise the Lord. God help Carol find it. And I know. One plus God is an army. Amen? And I tell you, as we come to the last, further and further into the last days, the army's going to get smaller. Those who follow God are going to get smaller, fewer and fewer. And those who go the way of the wide gate are going to get more and more. Okay? I don't know what that is. But anyway, you'll see two Roman soldiers, man a bagel. Well, looks like breakfast. YouTube man a bagel. I don't know, Sam. Okay, well, forget about that. All right. Anyway, so let's bring it home. So the conclusion, those who stand in God's way are going to be destroyed. Whoever stands in God's way is going to be destroyed. They're going to be defeated. Doesn't matter. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, one world government, Illuminati, globalists, whoever stands in God's way, European Union, whatever, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad, whoever stands in the way of God will be destroyed. They will be defeated. Whoever stands in the way of the God of Israel is going to be destroyed, and they'll be defeated, and they may be defeated by an army of one, because one will send 1,000 in flight, and 10 men will send... Two men will send 10,000 to flight. Amen. There it is. If you can get that to play. Can we get it to play? All right. Let's turn the light out and turn the volume up there. The whole thing went out.
A bagel rolled into the camp and knocked over the tent. What's a bagel?
Oh, Lord.
This could be none other than the sword.
Okay, turn the lights back
God
on. I'm sorry.
It's just into his hand.
If y'all want to watch this, go to YouTube Man a Bagel. Go to YouTube Man a Bagel and you see, look for a couple of Roman centurions and
Man
you can watch a really funny commercial.
Takes the dream.
Okay, let's conclude this message. Those who stand in God's way will be defeated. God isn't interested in numbers. God's not impressed with numbers. God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need you. He chooses to use me, and he chooses to use you, us. But he doesn't need us. If we don't sing his praises, the rocks will cry out. Amen? If we don't worship God, the rocks will worship God. The whole creation will give God glory. He doesn't need you. If you're just privileged to serve the living God, if he's called you, and if you've answered the call. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Out of all of Israel, out of all the 12 tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim and Zebulun and Naphtali and Gad and Asher and Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Benjamin and Judah, he chose 12 men. He chose one man, Joseph, to adopt a boy named Yeshua, Jesus. He took one man, Joseph, and he said, marry this pregnant woman because she's with child by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Don't put her away, but marry her, and by so doing, adopt her son and give him, because Joseph carried the prime lineage of David. He was the heir. If there was a king in that day who had the right to the throne of David, it was Joseph. Joseph was the kinsman redeemer. Everybody say kinsman redeemer. You see, the Holy Spirit couldn't be a kinsman redeemer for Jesus. Why? The Holy Spirit's not a man. He's not your brother. The Holy Spirit isn't your father. If you read in Matthew 1, it says, this is amazing. Let's just turn there for a second. Go to Matthew chapter 1. This is why this is front page news. If we read in verse 18, now the birth of Yeshua the Messiah was as follows. When his mother of Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. So who's the father? The Holy Spirit. She was found to be with child by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is Hebrew for the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now let's go back to verse 1. This is the record of the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? Son of the Holy Spirit, the son of God. Is that what your Bible says? No. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, this is the record of the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah, and Judah his brothers, and so on and so forth, till you get to Joseph, the adoptive father who gave him his Davidic lineage. Because the Messiah was prophesied to come through the line of Judah all the way back in Genesis chapter, I think, 49, I believe, where Joseph or where Jacob blessed Judah. He blessed Judah and told him that the scepter would not depart from Judah, that the king would come out of Judah. And the prophet Micah said, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, out of you will come forth one for me who will be ruler in Israel, and his days will be from everlasting. He'll be eternal. little Bethlehem, little Judah, out of you will become Israel's eternal king. All through the Bible, Isaiah 11 said, a branch will go forth out of Jesse, a root will go forth out of Jesse, and a branch will go forth from his roots. And the Spirit of God will rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and truth. That's talking about the Messiah. So the rabbis know that the Messiah had to come from David, from Jesse. And God knew, and Matthew knew, and everybody, all the Jewish people knew that the Messiah had to come. And you know why the Messiah was Jesus Christ? Because the temple was destroyed and the genealogical records were kept in the temple, and the Messiah had to come before 70 AD, because when the temple was destroyed, all the genealogical records were destroyed and nobody could prove that they were the Messiah after 70 AD. And Daniel 9 isn't read in the synagogues because it tells that the temple will be destroyed And the Messiah would come before the destruction of the temple. And Daniel 9, 26 and 27, that the Messiah would come before the destruction of the temple. And it's not read in the synagogues because they know, the rabbis know, that if a smart Jew reads it, he's going to figure out that the Messiah had to come before 70 AD. That none of the babies of the Holocaust could be the Messiah. None of the babies in history since 70 AD could be the Messiah. He had to come before, and he did come, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Glory to God. He is the King. He is the Prince of Peace. He is God Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the living God. Hallelujah. He is the healer. He is Adonai Rophe. He is Adonai Roe, the Lord who's our shepherd. He is Adonai Yireh, the God who sees. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He is El Elyon, the Almighty God. He's El Gibor, the Almighty God. He's El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Joseph gave him his Davidic lineage. He's 100% man, the Messiah, and he's 100% God. And the Bible says he emptied himself of his divinity so that he could come among us and learn what we go through. So he could learn our sufferings and our weakness and put on flesh so that he could deliver us from sin through experiencing what we go through as humans. But yet he remains sinless. And then he died as the perfect sacrifice for you and me. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day. And whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Hallelujah. You want to be worm food? Don't believe in Jesus. You want to fight? Why is it, you know, you who watch and don't believe, why? Why do you resist him? What is it? Sit and think for a second. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is it that bothers me about Jesus Christ? Why do I don't like it when people talk to me about Jesus Christ? What is it that bothers? Why is it okay to talk about Buddha? Why is it okay to talk about Krishna or Hindu or talk about, you know, any other god, false god or whatever? But when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not interested. I had a guy tell me last week, I was witnessing, sharing with a lot of Jewish people at my family's wedding. And I didn't do it. They asked me, they said, how'd you get to Tennessee? Well, if I had to tell you how I got to Tennessee, I got to tell you about Jesus, because he's the one who brought me here. So I said, you really don't want me to tell you. If I told you, you might not like me. I said, no, come on, tell me. Okay, here we go. I told my story to about 10 Jewish people who asked. A lot of them were sorry they asked. But a couple guys were really happy, and they wanted to hear more. You know? And I kept sharing the gospel day and night, day and night, day and night, sharing the gospel. Praise God. Lord, water those seeds. And soften those hearts. I had one guy, the father of the groom, tell me, this wedding was a big deal. This wedding was last week's New York Times featured wedding. Okay? You can go back and last Sunday's New York Times featured wedding, you'll see my niece's wedding. Okay? It was the featured wedding in the New York Sunday Times. Okay? That's how big a deal this was. And I'm talking to the father of the groom, and I'm telling him, yeah, he says, how'd you get to Tennessee? What do you do? So, you really want to know? Okay, I'll tell you. So I told him what I do, and he says, Judaism, we believe in the Talmud. We don't believe in the Bible. And then he says to his son standing next to him, say your bar mitzvah portion. So he starts spouting on his Noah. Last week was Noah. It was the Parsha. Noah. Noach was the Parsha, weekly, you know, scripture portion. So his son's bar mitzvah portion was Noah. So his son, the guy that got married, big guy, 6'7", starts singing his bar mitzvah portion, which is in the Bible. after the guy just got throwing me, telling me that the Talmud is what Jews believe in, which is the commentaries of the rabbis. It's not the Bible. Sometimes the Talmud has good stuff. So there are things in the Talmud that point us to the Messiah, and you got to be smart enough to know the difference between truth and not, because you're reading a commentary written by men who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And so you got to know God did reveal some truth to them, and some of it does point to the Messiah. And I do teach, and Anthony uses some of it to teach us, but we must be careful not to rely on false stories of the Talmud as truth and false things as gospel when they're just man-made stories. Like one story in the Talmud teaches that King David prayed three times, and how did he wake up in the middle of the night? And it says that it says that the wind opened his window and it banged his shutter, and he woke up in the middle of the night to pray in the night watch, and that's how David would wake up to pray. Where does it say that in the Bible? It says David prayed three times and Daniel prayed three times. We don't know that the wind opened his shutter and banged it and woke him up. Amen? He was king. He probably had some dude come and knock on his door and say, "Yo, king, it's time to pray." So I sat through a Bible study in a synagogue for about 2.5 hours discussing whether the wind knocked on the shutter or what, you know, what thing happened in the room that caused David to get up and pray. And that's what the Bible study was about for 2.5 hours. And that's what Judaism is. They'll sit there and you know, they'll strain a gnat. I mean, it's like they'll tithe dill and cumin but neglect the weightier portions of the law. They'll focus on the things that don't matter and neglect the weightier portions of the law of the Moses. And Yeshua, Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you'd believe in me, because Moses spoke of me. But my Jewish people don't know their own Bible. How sad. So just in conclusion, those who stand in God's way will be defeated, destroyed, ultimately. God isn't interested in numbers. God isn't interested in size. God can provide. God's content. You know, I've wanted to remodel our congregation. Wish we had $100,000 in our building fund so we could do a great remodeling job on this place. We've got a great building. This is a great building. I've been in during three floods that we've had in this building. I've been in the slab concrete floor. I've been under the building with the guys who dug up where the water was leaking from. I've been under it in the front. I've been under it out the back behind it. I've been in the walls. I've been under the stairs. I've seen all these things. I've seen the plumbers put PEX, take out galvanized pipes and put PEX, which is the newest thing to carry water. It's like a rubber line. And that's what it stretches. So we have PEX. It's instead of those white water pipes, what do they call that? PVC. Now they're using PEX. It's the latest thing to move to transport water. Okay. So we've got PEX instead of galvanized lead pipes. So we've changed the water system in here. We have also changed the electrical system. 85 to 90% of the electrical system has been rewired so that you're safer. This place has joists. A joist is like a support, a wooden support that are about 4 inches thick. I'm talking solid, like 4-inch joists that are like beams that are supporting this building. They don't make them that way anymore. They don't make supports for this building is like a bomb shelter. Okay, this is a great building. You know, I've wanted to redo it, but, you know, that's my desire. God may be happy the way it is. You know, it's not about numbers. It's not about how much money you got in the bank. It's not about having the perfect synagogue or having, you know, it's about 1 + God equals an army. if we will follow God. Amen? God may knock on your door one day. God may knock on your door like he did Gideon, and you may say, who, me? And God may say, deliver me from, deliver your people from the Midianites. And you say, you must be talking to the wrong person. And God say, no, I'm talking to you. But don't think it's you doing it. It's me, God. And God may tell you to lay hands and heal the sick. Or God may tell you to do something, just something strange that you've never done before. But when he does it, do it. Don't say no to God. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Okay. I said, wide is the gate that leads to damnation. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And there are few that will find it. The masses are going following the latest thing. We're following the real thing. We're following the Bible. We're celebrating the holidays that Jesus celebrated. We're celebrating God's feasts. We're doing things that God told us to do. We're following in spirit and in truth. And that's pleasing to God. We're not perfect. We don't have it all. But we do it in spirit and truth. Some people call us Judaizers. Some people will condemn you because you worship here. That's good. Take that as a badge of honor. When they knock you for worshiping here and call you names and say all kinds of terrible things about you, it says it in Matthew 5. When they persecute you on account of me, blessed are you, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. What could God do with you if you let him? Many are called, but few are chosen. I said that. If God be for me, who can be against me? One plus God is an army. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha Ayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Now, let's turn off the videos. God bless you all on Facebook and on live stream. Thank you for watching.